So I'm here at a roller derby game here in Roanoke, Virginia. It's a doubleheader. We're in the second game now, in the second half of the second game, with the Virginia All-Stars versus the World. Essentially, this is a New River Valley Roller Girls reunion of sorts with skaters from all over the country driving and flying in to play on this Virginia team. We have Arrakis from Houston. We have Slinging Grits, a woman who plays on a men's team in Carolina. We've got Betty Lockdown from Ann Arbor, Michigan. And then we've got a number of Twin Valley skaters. That's the team here in the Roanoke and New River Valleys who are skating on the Virginia All-Stars. The earlier game was sort of a B team. Twin Valley's B team played against the Rail City Rollers, and they won that game. Virginia is wearing black. The World is wearing white. And right now, Virginia's doing a number on the World with about 12 minutes left. Virginia's leading 197-69. Roller derby started up in Roanoke in 2006. A couple of years after the sport's modern resurgence began in Texas. In Roanoke, Maureen Havoc founded the Star City Roller Girls. They hadn't even played their first game before another skater, Speed Junkie, split off to found the New River Valley Roller Girls in the Blacksburg metro area. Over the next couple of years, more skaters who got their starts at Star City formed new leagues, the Blackwater Rollers in Lynchburg, the Rail City Rollers across town in Roanoke. NRV likewise spun off the Jaded Misfits of Bluefield, West Virginia. These teams skated against each other in other leagues throughout Virginia, the Midwest, and Appalachia. Recently, roller derby has seen some contraction. Blackwater doesn't really skate anymore, and Twin Valleys came from a merger between Star City and NRV after NRV lost their rink in Christiansburg. Today, we are talking about Appalachian roller derby through the lens of Western Virginia's Twin Valleys Roller Derby. This is Blue Ridge Free State, a podcast about politics, culture, history, and life in Appalachia. I'm your host, Mason Adams. So up top, I need to come clean with a disclosure. I refereed roller derby in Western Virginia and the Mid-Atlantic region for about 4 years. I got drafted into it by a photographer at the Roanoke Times, who skated as Beretta Betty, and a friend from the punk scene who skated as Ace Face, and both of them skated for Star City. I first started going to practices because there was pickup hockey afterward, but then I got hooked. The culture is what really hooked me. Derby was kind of like punk, but without all the cigarette smoke of the mid-2000s bar scene. I joked early on that one skater, Susie Snailtrail, who I'd known from punk, had the perfect training for roller derby in circle pits at Factory 324 a few years before. So from Roanoke's first game in 2007 against the Richmond Derby Demons, I got really into derby for a few years. That was during the time I was covering the General Assembly for the Roanoke Times, which involved living out of a hotel in Richmond for 6 to 8 weeks each year. I started skating with Richmond's River City Roller Girls, which provided a social and athletic outlet that was an important lifeline during a time when the only other people I spoke to on a daily basis were politicians, lobbyists, and other reporters. Through roller derby, I made friends in Charlotte, Raleigh, Baltimore, Philadelphia, Hagerstown, Johnson City, Lexington, Kentucky, and many, many other cities. And in 2010, I met my future wife through the sport. I stopped roughing back in 2011, but my wife has continued to skate, first with Star City, then with NRV, currently with the merged Twin Valleys Roller Derby. As a parent, part of supporting her means that I stay home with the kids when she goes to roller derby practice or to games. But for this November doubleheader, my mom came to watch the kids while I went to do some reporting. It was a homecoming, both for me, but also for a number of New River Valley Roller Girls and Virginia All-Stars alumni who came back home traveling from places like North Carolina, Michigan, and Texas to skate with their old teammates. I walked in and the first people I saw were Arrakis of the Houston Roller Girls and Betty Lockdown of the Ann Arbor Derby Dimes. I ref Betty back when she was with NRV, and I did a lot of reffing with Arrakis before she transitioned into skating.
Are you still skating with Houston?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm really digging it, though. Bummed as hell we didn't get to go to playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
what was that about?
It's a couple things. One, our one of our big money-making things is always our home team championship game, and that was scheduled that same weekend, and it was at a music center downtown, and so we couldn't get a refund, and we're already broke. The second thing was we're basically broke, so we couldn't risk going to Spain, and we were worried that if we went somewhere, you know, we'd probably drop in rankings, and really the money was a big part of it, and not being able to reschedule that home team game. So
y'all would have been in the Spanish tournament too. Y'all would have.
There was a chance
overseas.
Of it.
Yeah, because they don't tell you.
Y'all played the tournament.
We played in Atlanta.
Did you skate?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I kept mixing you up with 187.
Yeah, it's a real bummer. We look the same, actually. Mm-hmm. We have the same hair. We have the same helmet. We wear
pivots.
Shorts. Yeah, she doesn't... Well, so she hasn't pivoted much this season, and I pivot sometimes, depending. But yeah, it's very difficult. It's a good thing we don't skate on the same lines, because, like, 187, 170, the refs always get it wrong.
I could see that.
Always. So...
Yeah, because I kept being like, oh, good hit, Betty. Wait.
Yeah, I had a really good hit, and they misattributed it on the feed, and I'm really sad about it. I'm like, I do one good thing my entire derby career, and I don't even get credit.
Oh, that's not true at all. The one good thing in my entire derby career.
Okay, well, it was noteworthy to me. Yeah, they just, like, was skating by. She was like, bye.
They were so short on refs last year. Shiloh was trying to get Braddy to get me to ref.
Aww.
I was like, I haven't refs since they were minors. Are you kidding
me?
Oh,
man.
There's no way I'm going to go in not knowing my stuff. And not.
It's changed a little bit.
It's changed a fair amount. Like I said, they were still minors. And things.
And they're getting rid of the jammer lap point after the season.
That's what I heard. He actually read, because I knew Code Adam.
Oh, okay.
Back in from ECDX days.
Oh,
going up
yeah.
There. So I actually read his, like, an interview he did with somebody, like one of the derby blogs about doing his study and, like, all the games in the championship tournament and how many, like, points were, how many percentages of the time it was actually wrong. And it's like a alarmingly high mistake
ratio.
So
he actually did, like, a research paper.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he, like, had been talking. It was, like, one of those things where... You know, like, we talked about that stuff all the time, Bishop and all of us. And all the other refs, you and whoever, you know, Riff. And but this guy actually went and, like, watched the streamings, counted every lap or jab point, and whether it was mistakenly given or if they missed one. And it was, like, a 37% error rate or something crazy. And, like, there were so many games that were, like, 8-5 or fewer points where that would have, like, maybe turned the game. It was a... So it's like, once you look at the statistics, it was no question, like, even if it seems counterintuitive. But.
Plus, I've heard one argument that it'll help reduce blowouts, like, it'll help keep the score tighter.
Yep. Yeah, that makes sense, too. That's a good collateral thing I hadn't thought about.
I'm over here like, so we're getting rid of the jammer lap point after I already tied the record? All right, that shit's going to stand forever. Yes.
That's right, because you had, well, how many points did you score? 44?
50.
50.
Oh, I was like, that's never, I'm never doing that again. That was a complete fluke.
So you had,
fluke.
Like, probably 9 or 10 jam points. In
it
that.
Was, because I had 11 total passes. So I had 10 scoring passes. So I guess the maximum now you could get, if you get 10 scoring passes, would be 44.
After talking to Arrakis, Betty Lockdown, and another NRV alumni, Acid Assassin, I started walking around the rink toward the bench. I hadn't even made it around before I ran into another skater I knew from her NRV days, Slingin' Grits, a bruising skater who, although she's female, skates with the Carolina Wrecking Balls men's roller derby. Grits also had a run in the New River Valley area in pro wrestling and was one of the champions for a while.
To you eventually, how are you?
Good. I saw from your post it was going to be a quasi.
Well, I was discreet about saying that I was skating, but I didn't know that they planned this, like, reunion thing going on. I was like, how cool is that? And then the people that have come to watch, I'm like, we need to get a legit picture of everybody because Riot's here.
Everybody here except for from the Virginia Tech story, except for Casey.
Oh, so. I know. That's so true. That was such a good thing.
She's the only one who's actually retired.
Yeah. So. The rest of us are like, let's retire.
So, this Psycho, Steve. And Betty.
Besides these old alumni skaters, I also wanted to talk with some of the newer skaters, newer with air quotes around them. Some of these skaters have been doing derby for years. One of them is Black Bolt, who I had not met, but I knew both from my wife and our mutual friend Massacre Marie, who'd been posting videos of Bolt on social media, participating in training workshops at national tournaments.
So tell me, introduce yourself. Who are you?
I am Black Bolt. I've been skating for going on 5 years now.
How did you first start? Was it with this team, or did you discover
I actually started with the team that we played against today, Rail City. I skated with them for about 4 years and then transferred to Twin Valleys in August. So.
How did you find Roller?
Well, my friends and I were just hanging out at a skating rink, and they had someone there recruiting. I always thought it seemed like a cool idea, so I just showed up and stuck with it, fell in love with it.
Yeah? What is it you like about it?
The community, I think, is really unlike any other that I've been a part of, personally. They're just really supportive. It's a safe space. And it's also a lot of fun to hit people and not go to jail.
Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit about your real life, quote unquote?
My
I know
real
this
life?
Is much like, yeah, like what you do outside derby, a little, if you're open to that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm currently studying to become a personal trainer. I work as a lab assistant. It's totally unrelated to anything, you know, any of my schooling. But
how does derby give you like a step away from that, or how does it function in your life with, you know, with all that other stuff going on?
I've always been a fan of games and gaming, and I always sort of, I feel like I'm driven by the need for people to see how cool I am. So roller derby gives me a chance, I think, to prove myself and make friends and, like, again, hit people. That's a lot of fun.
How do fans treat you here? You talked about fans. Being kind of CBs, show how cool you are. How do fans
sometimes people ask for autographs. Not today, but I guess that's okay. But, I mean, you'll have
somebody near and dear to us who's getting ready to pack up and move away to England. And we want to say that we're going to miss you so much.
Dead Sarah is moving to England. She's getting married.
Twin Valleys Roller Derby. Dead Sarah, our man, and SO.
That's her right there.
Yeah, we're going to miss her.
Start talking again. I know I saw some videos of you that Marie was shooting from ECDX doing, like, working on your, like, moves and stuff. What was the ECDX experience like for you?
That was actually my second time going to ECDX. I went last year just for fun, just to watch all of the games, so it was really awesome to actually get to skate at ECDX, but it wasn't as fun as going, you know, just drinking and watching all the derby.
Tara Hellion is another skater who has been skating since I was a referee. She's played all kinds of different derby and has settled down as a team leader with Twin Valleys. When I saw her, she was skating as a referee herself. Now, as the game has matured and skaters have been around for years and years, some of them, like Tara Hellion, are beginning to move from competing to officiating. But Tara Hellion's not entirely done with competitive derby yet, though, as you'll hear.
Just if you want to introduce yourself and tell me who you are.
Okay. Real name?
Yeah, if you want.
Okay. Kathy Cockrell, and I skate by Tara Hellion.
So, how long have you been skating? Tell me how you got into it.
I've been skating with this team since 2008. Long time. Got into it because ballroom dancing was boring. I went to roller derby practice and never went back to ballroom dancing.
You've been doing it 10 years?
Yeah, man. 10 years. This is I'm going into my 10th year.
So what's kept you with it? Like, how, like...
I love the camaraderie of these women. It's an extended family. When I came to Virginia, I came not knowing anybody. And from the time I found these ladies, although it's evolved into a lot of different people, I've made some of the best friends that I could ever have through roller derby.
When did you move to Virginia and where from?
2007, from Eastern North Carolina.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about what you do in your day life, your non-derby life.
I am the education program director for the Western Virginia EMS Council. So I oversee education for the fire and EMS departments here in the region.
So that's pretty serious.
That's pretty serious. It's a lot of agencies, a lot of providers.
How does derby like function for you within that, like within your life? I mean, is it to give you a release from some of that intense day job stuff, or is it just a complement to it? Does it even factor in?
I wouldn't necessarily call it a release for me. I mean, since I have been with the league, I've actually been an officer. From the time I started the league, I've been an officer. And I've just moved in to, since our merger, Star City and New River Valley merged together to make Twin Valleys, and I've been the business director since then. So I won't say it's a release, but I think now for me it's just a way of life.
Yeah.
10 years, I'm pretty used to it.
All right, let me get you
in the back. So I want to talk to you about the merger because, you know, you had two very different cultures, rivals. You know, Star City flows to the Atlantic, New River flows to the Mississippi.
Yeah.
One was an LLC, one was a nonprofit. How did that happen? How did that come about?
Well, New River Valley lost their practice venue, so they started practicing with us. And attrition is really, really high in roller derby, and we had lost a lot of players, they had lost a lot of players, so we were borrowing from each other anyway, and we're like, we're practicing together, this is working, we're already playing as a team, let's just do it. And since then, that was probably the best move I think either team could ever make. We're strong.
Was it hard? Was it culture shock?
I don't think so, because we had been practicing with each other for so long. I think the most difficult aspect of this has been transitioning everybody kind of over to the nonprofit status. The business aspect of it has been harder than anything else.
I want to hear just briefly about the brand, how y'all came on Twin Valleys, because I know people have tried to put New River and Roanoke together for years with like pretty shitty response, pretty shitty outcomes.
Yeah.
But this one like seems to have worked, so is it hard to figure that out?
We had a really big meeting one night with both of the teams, and we sat down with someone from a marketing company that helps us out. He's the one who makes all of our posters. And we just started throwing out a bunch of names, and it got down to like three names, and as a league, that was probably the first vote that we did as a combined league, was what our name is going to be and what our colors are going to be.
Twin Valleys is awesome, man.
Yeah, we like it.
I heard you got 1 year left to skate as a competitive
That's
skater.
My goal.
You're switching to reffing.
That's my goal.
How come?
It's 10 years. It takes a toll on your body. The sport has gotten a lot more competitive. And since we have merged, we've moved up in the rankings so much. And the higher you move up in the rankings, the more difficult it gets. And my goal was to play competitively until I was 50. And I'm 50 next year, so I'm done.
Tell me what reffing's like.
It's a whole different world.
Have you been booed yet or heckled?
No, I haven't been booed or heckled yet, but it's coming. It's coming. I think reffing keeps you in the skating part of it, and it allows you to be competitive still. And skating, exercise, and I don't want to lose that part of it. I still intend to keep up with my minimum skills assessments and maybe play in a B bout here and there, but not for rankings anymore.
But I miss the reffing, and
you're not
a real ref though until you've been pelted with beer cans. No, I'm just kidding. That only happened once. That only happened in Charlotte once.
Oh, wow.
I was a River City ref, quote unquote.
Yeah.
But yeah. So anyway, good luck.
Thank you.
I'm excited to see you out wearing stripes.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Jammer white, black jammer back in. Inside. Oh, grab a blue.
Winslet Adams is another skater who I knew through Massacre Marie. Earlier this year, I wrote a story for Between Coasts about how Roanoke is changing. I focused on a couple of block stretch on Salem Avenue, which runs parallel to the railroad tracks in downtown Roanoke. The first part of the story is more about my early days in Roanoke, when I'd go down to Factory 324, formerly known as the Iroquois Club and a focal point of punk history, to do a couple laps around the mosh pit on my lunch break from my night cop shift next door at the Roanoke Times. Winslet shows up in the second half of the story, as Factory 324 is turned into condominiums and the shape of the neighborhood begins to change. Winslet owns a condo about a block away, basically right next door to the former Backstreet Cafe, currently the Front Row, a former gay bar turned punk club that we talked about back in episode 4 with Deanna Marson. After the first game, in which Twin Valleys defeated Rail City 197-159, I talked to Winslet about what Derby means to her.
Well, my real name's Camille Leonard, but I skate under the name Winslet Adams. I've been skating for 2 years now, so that's been really exciting. I actually managed that today was the end of our season, and I made the roster for every game this season, which had been a goal that I had set for myself. So that was pretty exciting. Had a really good game. I'm not sure how many points I scored, but probably my best jam was the 23-point jam. So I had a blast. It was really fun.
You were jamming and you scored 23 points? Oh, congratulations. That's awesome. Tell me a little bit about how did you find roller derby? How did you get into it?
Yeah. So I had recently moved to the area when I had heard about the team, and a couple months later they had the recruitment. I was looking for something to do. I was looking for a community, and found derby and never really looked back.
Tell me, could you mind talking a little bit about what you do in your day-to-day life?
I can give a little bit. Yeah, so I moved here to work for the railroad. I'm a metallurgical engineer in the research and test department, so that's a lot of fun. The railroad is super interesting. I never really expected to sort of be here doing this, but it's challenging. It's different all the time. I do failure analysis, so I take parts and I do sort of look at them, figure out why they failed. We also do some quality type stuff, evaluating the secondary suppliers versus primary suppliers, and see, you know, is there really quality in what we're getting.
You're tied in with the local roller derby team. You're tied into this historic industry in the city. Do you feel like pretty tied into the community now? Has that been a good way to get in?
I would definitely say so. I also am a member of the League of Women Voters locally, so I'm the secretary for the board on that. So between that, getting involved with the community, roller derby getting part of the community, there's a lot of walking around, introducing yourself to people to put up flyers for the next game and that kind of thing. And living downtown, you're like really sort of in the thick of it.
I'm curious if you have thoughts on like how derby interweaves or doesn't, like with other parts of your life, like, because you mentioned some of your advocacy work or volunteer work, and your job. Does it a release from that stuff? Does it inform that stuff? I'm curious how it might function with regard to other parts of your life.
So I would say that derby first and foremost is entertainment, and it is that connection to a local community. And it also gives me a reason to travel. So I went to RollerCon this year. I went to ECDX for the tournament, played with the team. I went to New Orleans for Champs. So not only do I get to interface with a lot of different people on the team, but I also get to meet people from other teams around the country. I get to visit different places to see them. And it certainly touches a whole lot of different areas.
Do you still have a former Gotham girl as your housemate?
I do.
So imagine living with Emily has informed like your derby experience.
Certainly.
As well.
And derby as a community is very diverse. So that has been really eye-opening, the discussions, especially on derby Twitter. There's a lot of advocacy that happens and just a lot of learning from the community.
In the second game, the Virginia All-Stars defeated the World 238-100. There was even a point near the end where the old NRV skaters all took to the track for an old school jam.
So the next one is after this one. It's going to be Betty, Psycho, Speed, Grits, and Araxis jamming.
After the game, I wanted to talk to Speed Junkie, the founder of the NRV Roller Girls and the coach of Twin Valleys, who's still playing as a skater today. Junkie and I go way back. I remember the first time I was set to head ref a bout between Star City and NRV. Back then, the rules were a lot shorter and less detailed, so teams had to work out how the game would be called through a document called a discrepancy-o-matic that often was longer than the rule set itself. I remember working in Richmond at the time, spending about nearly 3 hours on the phone with Junkie the week before the bout, going line by line through that document and explaining how the game would be called. Junkie is still as passionate about Derby today as she was back then.
So, you want my Derby name?
It's up to you. Okay. I love both, but it's
okay.
Up to you.
So, real name is Shiloh Atkinson, and Derby name is Speed Junkie.
You've been doing Derby a long time. Tell me how you got into it.
So I was getting ready for work one morning, and the Star City Roller Derby League was advertised on the news. And so my husband called me in the living room really quick and was like, you gotta see this. And I was like, oh my God, because I had been wanting to do it for probably at least 2 or 3 years because I watched A&E Roller Girls. And I was like, I totally have to do that. So anyway, I went to a practice and checked it out, and I couldn't skate because I didn't have something to do with insurance. But anyway, I went back and joined in a couple more practices, but I lived an hour and a half from there, and it was just too far to commute. And so I started the NRV Roller Girls out of New River Valley, and that's it.
So my show is about Appalachia culture, about Appalachia politics, and you were very instrumental in a lot of these Appalachian roller derby leagues, right? You kind of gave some mentoring, right, to Beckley and Charleston. Can you talk a little bit about maybe what's unique about the leagues in the mountains here? Is there anything unique about them, or are they different?
So, yeah, I feel there is something unique about our leagues here in this area and kind of the surrounding areas is that they're small. You know, a lot of the big cities, you're looking at a membership of like 100, as much as 500 skaters. So they really have the derby mecca going on and a lot of people that can do a lot of things. So the smaller leagues, you know, we really do a lot of double, triple, quadruple duties. So that our leagues can kind of grow and prosper and bring new membership in. Yeah, so I think that's the biggest difference, I feel like. And then just fundraising and stuff like that, you know, it's a lot harder because you don't have as many people.
Can you rattle off the leagues you've skated as a team member on, even if just briefly?
Oh, yeah, sure. So I've skated on New River Valley Roller Girls. I've skated on River City Roller Girls. That was Roller Girls at the time, now Roller Derby. And I've skated on Appalachian Roller Girls. And I've skated on Charlottesville Roller Girls. And I skate for the Virginia State All-Stars. And I will maybe be skating with Twin Valleys next season. So
and
we'll see.
You came back as a coach to Star City, right? Can you
talk
about
what
it was like coming back and then maybe walk me through how the merger happened?
So, I came back and I was approached by Star City. Their coach at the time was having to step back. So they felt like they had made a lot of progress, and they wanted someone that, you know, could hopefully kind of move them to the next level. And I did talk with them, you know, because at the time I was skating with Charlottesville All-Stars and traveling all over. And I just said, hey, you know, I'm okay with this. I would like to do this as long as you know up front my commitment level can't be what maybe you're looking for. So I was very transparent about that. And they were like, it's cool. We'll take what we can get. So I averaged with them one practice a week. And then not long after I started, you know, they had started writing their proposals back and forth between the two leagues with NRV and Star City about, you know, the merger and what one league thought that process should look like. And then the other one, obviously, the same thing. And then just kind of like meeting in the middle, compromising on things. It was a lot of work, And there was bylaws that we had to review. We had to, you know, merge everything. Bank accounts, documents,
bye.
Bylaws.
Love you.
Love you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And talent, and how we were going to merge that talent on the track. And so, yeah, that's it.
That Star City New River rivalry used to be really hot, but
correct.
What was it? Was it still, were there still tensions, or was that mostly water under the bridge, or a little bit of both?
I think for the most part, I could say that it was water under the bridge. I think there were just a couple of skaters, and I, you know, I obviously won't speak to what league directly, but yeah. There were a couple of skaters I feel like definitely had some tension about it. But the majority was very open to it and excited about it and just ready for it to happen. So we actually took almost a full year to do the merger. So yeah.
This is the first full year, right?
Yes. We rebranded and released that rebrand to the public in January, and then we rolled out as TVRD for the first time in February of this year.
I think I like the brand. I think, and when you look at the history of people trying to brand New River and Roanoke together, mm-hmm. there's a lot of people have tried, and there's been a lot of really bad ideas.
Yeah.
So this one actually works pretty well.
Yeah.
What's the team been like this year? It seems like y'all are more competitive than I've ever seen, even at the NRV.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I mean, there was one point the NRV got to like around 120-ish, but that was short-lived.
What are y'all at now?
And so right now TVRD is at 178, I want to say. We were at 173 or 171 and went to 173. I don't know. Honestly, I'd have to check because they just changed – again, before we played Maryland. So, 170-ish. How about that?
That's good. And I know you haven't even de-geared yet. So, let me just ask one question, last question. And this was like, tonight was sort of, you brought back a lot of the old hits. You brought back a lot of skaters. You brought in skaters from Michigan, from Texas, from Carolina.
Yeah, they're Virginia All-Star alumni.
Yeah, tell me about what led up and what it was like.
So, I'm the captain and one of the kind of coaches in a way for Virginia All-Stars, and it's really difficult to have a game during the season because our team is made up of so many different leagues. So it presented an opportunity to do that in October, but we had to cancel because of the hurricane. Yes, it was because of the hurricane. So I worked really hard to get it rescheduled, but when we rescheduled, some of the skaters that was going to make October initially and then could not make November. So I kind of reached out to some Virginia All-Star alumni and was like, hey, can you be available for this game? And they made it happen. So it just happened that way. And then, of course, Grits, we know her. We've skated with her. At first, she was going to skate on the world, but they actually had, like, 20-some skaters submit interest. And, I mean, it's kind of unfortunate that some of them didn't make it due to illness. But I think it worked out good. I think it was a really fun game for everybody. It was a lot of organization behind the scenes because I was essentially organizing TVRD and Virginia All-Stars and the world. So it was a lot, but it was definitely worth it.
What was it like being with that old pack, that jam right near the end when you were on with Grits and Tori and Betty and Psycho?
It was pretty magical. I'm not going to lie. Yeah, it was pretty magical. Yeah. But every one of them was so much fun to skate with and skate against.
Yeah.
A lot of the skaters on the world, I know them very, very well. And so it was just a lot of fun, whether we were on what team we were on. It didn't matter.
I actually said that was the last question. I have two last
fine.
Ones real quick.
No,
and that's, we've talked about this before. Your day job is working as a nurse where you travel a lot.
Yes.
You do a lot of trainings.
Yes.
How does roller derby function with regard to your day job?
So usually when I travel, I usually know where the local leagues are at this point. I did start a new position like a year and a half ago, which is taking me to some different locations. So it's really cool because now I'm starting to reach out to other leagues that I haven't visited for practices. But I visit other leagues during the week. And what's good about that is I learn a lot of new stuff and I can bring it back to TVRD.
Does it help you de-stress?
Yes.
Last question is, what's your ambition for TVRD in the future?
You know, I want TVRD to be competitive, but at a level to where they can still enjoy the game. Personally speaking, from skating on a league that was ranked a D1 league, it was a lot of fun, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. It was a huge commitment, and I sacrificed a lot. I sacrificed my 10-year wedding anniversary, a lot of birthdays, you know, just a lot of time and events that were special with my family. So for TVRD specifically, I want them to lead the ship on where they're willing to make sacrifices and commitments, and I'm perfectly okay with that. You know, if their ambition is to stay like where we are, perfect, awesome. We do have some tournaments lined up next season, so we'll kind of see what happens.
Cool.
See where it goes.
That's it for this episode of Blue Ridge Free State. This episode was written, recorded, and produced by Mason Adams. Find me and my journalism on Twitter at Mason Adams, MasonAtoms, like the atomic particle. You can interact with the podcast on Facebook or Twitter at Ridge Free. Make sure to check out our website too, where I'll include some links to stories I mentioned today, including the Between Coasts piece with Winslay Adams and Massacre Marie. We're also on iTunes and Stitcher, so please subscribe, rate, and review. Thank you so much to Twin Valleys Roller Derby. Follow them on Twitter at @twin_valleys. Also, thank you to Twilight Fauna, Pomac, and Stations for the music. Thank you for listening to Blue Ridge Free State. We'll see you next time.